Did you know not all batteries are the same? For example, only Duracell batteries are built different with Power Boost ingredients. And Duracell are the only batteries that make this sound every time you say Power Boost ingredients. See? Duracell batteries with Power Boost ingredients. You try.
Duracell batteries and Power Boost ingredients.
Told ya. Duracell batteries are built different with Power Boost ingredients.
And they're built right here in the USA with US and global parts.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
The brief, the document that just dropped in the David case doesn't just describe an alleged murder. It describes, a prosecutor say, was years of exploitation. David Anthony Burke allegedly met Celeste Rivas Hernandez when she was just 11 years old. By 13, prosecutors say they were in a S relationship. By 14, she was allegedly spending weekends at his Hollywood Hills home, traveling with him to Las Vegas, London, and Texas. And people in his circle reportedly believed she was 19 years old, a 19-year-old college student. She was actually in middle school, in seventh grade. And every system that should have caught this allegedly did not catch this. Joining me to discuss, Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, and Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, as we continue to break this case down. Let's go here. After law enforcement told Burke directly that Celeste was a 13-year-old runaway when they made their call to him, kind of, you know, poking him a little bit, tickling the wire. I've learned would this be considered a tickling the wire, where they're just kind of poking a little bit, you know, shaking the wire? They say prosecutors said that he drove to Lake Elsinore and paid one of her classmates $1,000 to deliver a phone that he'd bought for her because her parents had taken hers. Well, that's the first thing in this story that we've heard of some sort of parental activity on her parents' part, of taking her phone away. But then he finds a way in. I mean, kids are crafty this way. This is not necessarily anything super unique. Kids do this sort of stuff a lot, not necessarily paying each other $1,000 to do it, but they find their ways around roadblocks. What does that tell you here about what is going on? And also, I guess, consciousness of guilt that he is looking at this and knowing that it's wrong. There's no argument here, I think, that's going to be made that he was unaware his youth was somehow preventing him from seeing it for what it was, as the adults in the room would.
You know, he was really pursuing her.
Yeah.
And that's where we see the breakdown, right? That I think she really thought they had a relationship and maybe we're going to get married someday, right? All of it's coming out. And then you see why the pinnacle of this relationship going to hell was essentially because she's scorned and she's hurt. And you see now all the layers that led up to her believing that she was loved and sought after by David. And then, you know, there's nothing worse than a woman's scorn, except for maybe David's scorn, because he certainly, you know, played that out. But you see what I mean? I mean, yeah. To me, it shows that he did all of this, and he's such a pedophile. I hope you can we say that?
Let's avoid it, but yeah.
Pedo. He's such a pedo. All that. Remember from the beginning, I said he's a pedo. Why? He's donned with Hello Kitty everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, he used all the stuffed animals, the Hello Kitty. And then we found that video when she was only probably 5 or 6 and she had the Hello Kitty in with her parents in that living room. He absolutely was a groomer. And that's the sick side of this play out. Who else was he grooming?
That's going to be my next question. Do you think there's more people? Not that there's more deaths, but the, are there more victims that he was in a, and I put this in air quotes, relationship with? More, you know, obviously it's not a relationship when that's the dynamic, but he's convinced these girls that that's what it is.
Oh, I totally imagine that there are going to be multiple relationships, either online in some process of being groomed. Remember, she talks about that too. She's jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Other girls. And I'm afraid we're going to find out they were girls, not women, but girls. We'll see.
Yeah. You know, Tony used an interesting word there. I'm curious if you think this, if what you think about it, Jen, about being wrong. Do you think he actually, at this point, because he fell in love with his own voice and he's surrounded by a bunch of sycophants, that he actually thought what he was doing was wrong?
So in my experience with interviewing, watching multiple interviews that were outside of what I interviewed, and sadly having to work this crap, which was, by the way, I begged not to, but you know, when you have a big, when people have a big case, you get roped into this crap.
Yep.
It's my least favorite. Nevertheless, these people, you cannot change them ever.
Right.
You can never change it. Just like you're never going to get turned on by that. They're never not going to be turned on by that, and nothing else, by the way. So it's not really that they drink their own Kool-Aid or they think they're right. They have no other, that's how they roll.
Right. So it's not even a choice of them of right or wrong. It just is, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And actually, and I saw someone in the chat use this instead of the word we were using that Tony's got scrub. We can call them PDFs.
PDFs, yeah.
instead of pedos, they call them PDFs.
You know, I want to say this, and I don't really know what question I have with it, but I just want to point out the little factoid here, and I know it's probably going to, as it upsets people when you know you talk about certain other artists from history. That you look at the ages that they were at certain points in time and the people that they were with. Elvis was 24, Priscilla was 14.
Yep.
Different place and different time. Doesn't make it all that different, except she survived. I know we have Elvis fans here, but historically, I mean, there's a lot of this that has gone on. David is not that different in terms of the line of artists doing this with children. I'm not no way saying it's okay, but I do find it interesting the disgust that we have on this, and I find it utterly disgusting. But we look at it through a different lens today than we did back then. Obviously, a good thing, but is that part of why this still goes on today in these sort of circles, in this sort of environment where you have the artist with all the power? Is it still the same sort of dynamic that exists when you're behind that velvet curtain that allows this world to exist? It's not really all that different than it was decades ago.
Well, to your point, and I don't have my phone with me, so I don't have my stats right mm-hmm. here, but I've looked them up many times. There are many states where the age of consent is 14.
Yeah, you're right.
One where it's 13. This is just from my memory because I don't have my phone.
Sure.
13, several 14, many 15, multiples 16. How they try to cover with that, though, is they say, yeah, but it's only if it's a 13 with a 15-year-old, right? A 2-year age difference in terms of involved, not an adult, right? But nevertheless, to think that at 13 you can give consent is just mind-boggling. So, you know, Elvis probably lived in one of those states.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. I mean, when the public looks at it, you know, it's one thing, and then when it's so close in these circles, it's like, oh, that's what they do. And it seems like it's a different set of rules over there. Not that there really is, but until someone questions it,
so
it gets caught.
Here's the breakdown. Yeah. 30 states plus DC age is 16, 17 for seven states, Colorado, Illinois, Louisiana, Missouri, New York, Texas, Wyoming, 18 for Arizona, California, Delaware, Florida. So the lowest is 16, and see this, you know, as soon as we started bringing up that age thing and how people in the celebrity circle sometimes mm-hmm. make these excuses for the way things used to be, and that's exactly what Epstein said too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
It's Robin, exactly what he said.
Couple things. One, are you looking at, age of consent or
age
are you?
Consent.
Okay. And if you're looking at age of consent, I would look back at when that changed. Because there are, in other words, when it went from 13, 14, 15 up to 16 in different states. Uh-huh. I just remember doing that research, and I think you're going to see it's not that close, but I know Robin's
I'm checking it right now.
I guess like the question would be, what's the motivating factor to not change it to higher numbers? Like, why?
Like, I totally.
Well, just look at the morons running in government. Well,
that's probably our answer right there.
They don't want to trip themselves up.
I mean, it's because we've had children that age,
yeah.
Right? And we know, I mean, they can't even drive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. No, so at 16, you can finally drive by yourself, with a license and so forth. But you know what I mean? They can barely, at least maybe it's just my kids, but, you know, I have a 17-year-old and I still make his pancakes every morning and maybe I'm coddling him. You know, we do all his laundry, we go all that, but they seem to go off to college and they figure it all out. But you know what I mean? You see how they need guidance.
Yeah.
It's a lot earlier than at least what it's coming up with here. Exact timeline for California in particular. Age of consent was 10 years old until 1850. 1889, it raised to 14. 1897 went to 16. 1913, it went to 18.
Well, so they were early on it, I guess, compared to some other states. Haven't quite caught up.
You know, and I see what these sick PDF guys are trying to do with this. You know, saying, "Oh, way back when it was this." And yeah, well, I'm reading a book on life in the Middle Ages right now in 1200 and 1300 in the UK, the United Kingdom, where yeah, they got married at 13 because everyone was dead by 40.
Thank you.
Yeah,
exactly. There were reasons for all of that evolving.
Yeah,
you know, and they actually gave command of armies. They gave commands of armies to 20-year-olds because everyone was dead by the older age.
And I can understand them, but you know, back in the Elvis days, I just don't think things socially had caught up. I mean, they have, I think, a lot of ways socially, but like I said, they're still behind the scenes. That's the scary thing of, you know, the music industry, any industry that has essentially, you know, a firewall up in front of it. You find so many of these things going on, and it's so disturbing when you get a look behind the curtain like we're looking at right here.
You know, I, and I'm sorry, Tony, for interrupting you. I think what's coming in here, kind of going back to your great point about, you know, what happened, you know, what people accepted during Elvis' time and JFK and all these things, there used to be a celebrity halo that would carry people through this, that was just accepted. But there is no more celebrity halo. It's diminished a lot because of shows like this, because there's so much more transparency, required transparency. People are more critical thinkers in the general population. People question, why am I following this person? You know, so I think because of all that, that celebrity halo is diminished, except the celebrities themselves don't realize it, and they get themselves screwed up because they're broken brain people.
In so many cases, and obviously they don't need to prove a motive here in this, but so many cases they strive for it because it certainly reads well with a jury. It helps make everything fall into place and make sense. This is a case where if the prosecution is accurate here and correct in what they're claiming David did, is pretty damn solid. The special circumstance allegation says Burke allegedly took Celeste's life because she was the witness to his own crimes that night. That she showed up at his house. They have evidence, they claim, that she threatened to expose him and expose their relationship. And he was about to launch an album and he was about to go on tour. and then she was dead. This seems like one of the strongest motives I've seen in any case. Jen, what's your thoughts on this and where this stands is all of this when put together? I don't even know how this thing goes to trial or how they even attempt to take it to trial. What do you think on all that?
So this is my favorite question, Tony, that you just asked, because it parallels the Sandra Birchmore case.
Yeah, that's how
the federal government got their boot in the ground, you know, boot in the door, and charged that because it was essentially murdering a witness. That's the statute that the federal government can get in on these local murders, one of the several. And so in that case, it was charged all by the FBI, or not charged by the FBI, investigated by the FBI, charged by federal authorities. But again, that's because the locals wouldn't put their foot down on that case, right? But that was, in other words, he killed her in this case also, if we're to believe the documents, because she was a witness to a crime, her own crime, right? What happened to her? It's exactly parallels that case. The Bureau isn't going to enter the story here, I don't think, because, I mean, the state is coming down hard and fast on this one and has really done a great job, I think. But I think he's hosed, and I think he'll plead.
Go ahead, Tony.
So, you know, as we're going through this, you know, I'm actually getting misty thinking about this. I'm just thinking about her. And so if we're going through all these details and facts, you know, what really jumped out at me was how strong she actually was, because she didn't get trauma bonded to him. And the fact that she was able to do what she did, which put him into a fit of rage and a fit of fear, and he did what he did. Unfortunately, she lost her life, but she uncovered this. That'll never happen to anyone else again, thankfully. But I mean, it's pretty profound that as much as he roped her in and groomed her, that she maintained enough of her own individuality in some sense of whatever caused it, jealousy, whatever caused it. But again, she uncovered him, and unfortunately she lost her life for it.
But yeah, did she uncover him or was going to uncover him? I still think it's just like in most of these cases we see Sandra Birchmore and many others, where the woman is wants to go forward, and she uses that as a threat to keep the man, but she's never really do it because keeping the man is more important. I think she was so naive, she didn't realize how pushing that major button put her life on the line.
I totally agree. Yeah. But again, but because of those actions, she uncovered him and lost her life for it. But again, he, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but he will never do this to another human being again.
Yep.
True. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue to work through the latest in this document in the David case.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's go over to another case. David Anthony Burke, D4VD, first met Celeste Rivas Hernandez when she was 11 years old. And by 13, the relationship had allegedly become a bit more than just friends. When we hear about an adult allegedly seeking out a child that young, and it's important to understand for the context of this case, he was about 18 at the time, too. Still an adult, without a doubt, but not 40 or 50. Still, they would have been in the same school system, essentially, at a point in time. But seeking out a child that young and reportedly maintaining contact for years. Let's talk about that. What does that pattern suggest about intent versus opportunity? Is this someone, because people are going to look at this and you're going to hear 1,000, and I'm not saying they're justified excuses, but I'm already seeing them, of, well, when I was 18, or my grandma was 18, or my mother was 18, or my father was 18, they were dating my mother who was 14, or whatever. You hear these stories and things like that. This is a little further than that. This is not just like senior and freshman. This is more like senior and seventh grader.
Right.
Which is more. I remember being in seventh grade, and I remember having female friends of mine who would brag about their boyfriends who were driving and were 18 and adults, and they were, you know, they thought they were adults. They were down with that. They were like, this is great. And unfortunately, in 1990, whatever that was, five, six, that people were still kind of like, oh, well, okay. It was looked the other way still. Anyway, it's not about me. It's about this. Let's talk about that. That situation there, that age difference, and huge. What might have been going on in your thoughts.
Yeah, huge age difference between a 14-year, an 11-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old. You know, 11 is definitely a child. That's a prepubescent child. And it speaks of grooming, intentional grooming, and the need for power and control and, you know, somebody that really gains a sense of, you know, what would we say, grandiosity from being able to manipulate someone that young and impress them, which I'm sure he was trying to do.
Yeah, that's even a young age for the Middle Ages, even the 13, 1400s. It was older than that. It was pretty much 14, 15.
Yeah.
And so you can't even have an historical excuse like even Epstein tried on that one. And I think I looked this up the other day. I believe it's 5 years is the difference that they actually talk about legally as well. So it's definitely outside that realm also. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no excuses. And I remember, I'm sorry, having all these all, talking about our high school years. I remember if you dated someone more than one grade away from you, you got a sideways glance. If you went two grades, that was too much, at least in my school. And, I'm a hardcore Gen Xer, and we, you know, we're just nuts.
I mean, let me ask this, is there a disconnect that goes on mentally when you're, because David lived in such a world, and he talked about it, where he was online. I mean, the people that he interacted with, at least initially, they're faceless, you know, names with not even real names, you know, they're online names as he's playing games. And if he met her that way, the way that one expresses themselves online, not always necessarily reflective of one's age, does that play a factor into this in how he viewed her? Obviously, when you meet in person, and clearly they met in person quite a bit, you know, that should probably wipe that away, going, you're a child. But for some, it doesn't. Does that, in predatory type situations, does that create a justification in the mind of the predator that this person is just more mature for their age?
It's always.
In the words of R. Kelly, who wrote Aaliyah's song, age ain't nothing but a number, is that kind of what maybe had been the thought process in somebody like this?
They very much go into that, but this young girl is so mature. I met my first husband when I was 15 and he was 25. And that's what everyone said. I remember when I met his mother, she made the comment to him, well, she's very young, but she's so mature. So mature. And so that's always said, you know, pedophiles with the 5-year-old or the 6-year-old, as I've mentioned before, they'll say, oh, but she was so seductive and so mature
she
at
she
five.
Came on to me.
She came on to me. Yeah. Oh. That's a standard.
Yep.
Why do we see that in society? Is it because we're not far enough removed from our own relatives who've done this sort of shit where there was that those kind of relationships at young ages and maybe it didn't turn into a big controversy and they lived many a years together, like, well, they were happy till they were 85 and they died and they married with this kind of an age difference. I don't know, but it seems like the fact that these conversations are had and people still say that sort of stuff, well, they're very mature for their age, they're still a kid. And why is that not like immediately something that somebody goes and says, yeah, that's not acceptable? I mean, it's one thing to say they're mature for their age in non-sexual sexual ways. You know, if we're talking about, oh, understanding of science or math, they're very mature in that area. They've really, you know, they're advanced. Mm-hmm. Maybe advanced is really more the word for that. Not mature. Maturity is something different. Why does society give such a pass and minimize and go into the corner of the predator and not the victim? Is it because people just don't want to deal with the reality of what's directly in front of them and how messy that could be if they call it out?
I think it's changing in society. Yes, we're still seeing it happen, and particularly in some of these, you know, high profile cases. It's awful. Mm-hmm. It's obvious. But there's increasingly multiple states now have made it illegal for girls to marry under 18. And that didn't used to be the case. I mean, there were states where it was legal at 13. And when I married at 16, I did have to go before the court and get permission, which meant sitting for 15 minutes with a social worker, and it was just nonsense. And he wrote the letter to the court saying that I was mature enough to get married. That was in California. But there's a whole movement now, and I forget the name of the organization. I think it's, no, I'm not going to say because I may not get it right, but they're trying legislatively to say it is simply not okay for girls under 18 to be getting married, which I think is a good thing. I think it should be 100%. Illegal. You know, so I think we're becoming more aware that this is exploitation.
Yeah, and we said this the other day too. I absolutely hate people using that excuse of, well, she's mature for her age.
Yeah.
No, so what they saw here, and I think people see, is for someone's age, because they face so much trauma, and just like you, Siobhan, that they become a very good problem solver at a young age, and they mistake the ability to solve problems and stay safe as best they can as maturity. No, they're good problem solvers for their age. I think just be a little more specific on what you're seeing so that you're not making an excuse for some predator out there to say, well, she came on to me. She's mature for her age.
Right.
No, you're dealing with a traumatized child that knew how to make herself safe, and she's a good problem solver, much better than you friggin' nut.
It's a good way to put it.
Riverside County deputies reportedly contacted David in February 24th. So this is before the unaliving. This is before any of this happened, and told him that Celeste was a minor and missing. So they allegedly knew back then that there was a relationship of some sort here. This girl is missing. I mean, if we look at the logs of kind of her coming and going and the videos of where she's been, she was, I guess, I call semi-missing. I don't know, because she was at home sometimes. She wasn't consistently missing. And I think that's a caveat here. Her parents did know where she was from time to time. But she was basically kind of an on and off runaway. So they tell him she's underage. He probably already knows this, but it's on the record now that she's a child. Stay away. Prosecutors then allege that he paid a classmate $1,000. So she's, I guess, in school at this moment, even though she was gone in and out, paid a classmate $1,000 to deliver a new phone to her so they could resume contact. He'd just been put on notice by law enforcement. I mean, what is that alleged choice there reveal about how someone in this psychological space might weigh the risk against control here?
Well, it speaks to grandiosity that he thinks the rules don't apply to him and that he's going to maneuver and get his way. And that, again, is the kind of thinking that we would say is pretty psychopathic thinking. That he wasn't learning anything from experience, and he continued on with his path in a way that indicated he thought he was going to get away with it, as he thought ultimately he was going to get away with everything that he did here.
No guardrails, no accountability, and lunacy that he can throw someone in a trunk of a Tesla and think it's going to be okay and go away.
Yeah.
What a moron.
Yeah.
What do you say here, you know, allegedly happened after Celeste reported death? I mean, it wasn't a single panicked act. This guy, he had a plan, and it went on for weeks, if not months. Tools, bags, a pool, like literally a blow up pool. So he's sitting here thinking, okay, she's dead. What do I do? let's go on Amazon. Let's buy two chainsaws, a incinerator,
which is the dumbest thing you can think of,
and
in the
a blow-up right. pool, and right. and a kiddie pool. None of this looks weird or anything. And he did it under a fake name, but to his address, with forensic evidence reportedly tying those materials to injuries on Celeste remains. There's pieces of the pool in her parts. I mean, psychologically, what is that kind of, I mean, sustained methodical behavior in the aftermath of a violent act tell you about the person who's able to carry it out?
It says it's a sadistic person who's definitely yeah. capable of fairly elaborate planning in his mind, even though he was not very good at it. And clearly he's not the brightest guy. Mm-hmm. Everything he did was stupid, but he was confident and very full of himself, and his apparently he has impressed enough people around him that fed his ego on what a star he is or was going to be. And it's insane that, you know, it's the mark of a predator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm curious, Siobhan, you know, really focusing on him for a sec. I know when you're dealing with people that are suffering from addiction, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, typically, again, I know this is anecdotal, but when someone actually enters the addiction phase of life, that's kind of where their emotional development stops, like right there. And then when they finally enter recovery, that's when it kicks back off again. So a lot of times they're extremely emotionally immature mm-hmm. and stunted because of that addiction. Is that the same thing that happens in cases like this, where you have some psychopath where when it finally hit hold and he actually gets addicted to trying to control someone, like thinking of control as an addiction maybe, or whatever he was doing, because he seems like some five-year-old that watched some cartoon or played a video game on how he went about what he's doing, not someone who's actually making millions of dollars and starting to run an empire.
Right, right. Yeah. Could you look at it as addiction? I don't know. That's not
or
really
the emotional development aspect of it, not the addiction aspect of it.
Development or just being not very smart. You know, you can be artistically talented and still just not very smart.
Right. I want to add on to that, Robin, because I get where you're going. Ego addiction. And I wonder, is that a thing, a celebrity, a person who's had a taste of celebrity? They got a little taste of what that life is like, the money, the attention, mm-hmm. the you're always right. No one's going to question anything that's going on around you. I mean, it's documented. People were pointing out to him, why does your Tesla smell like death? Leading up to all of this, and his solution is, I'm just going to park it out in front of the house and go on tour. Nothing could happen there. I mean, is that the addiction here that drove this sort of, because obviously, you know, you talk about alcohol, you talk about drugs, all this sort of stuff. People do such stupid things when under the influence of those substances, and their addiction is taking over. Is that something, does that explain part of what went on here? An ego addiction, the dopamine hit, the I'm always right, I know what this life is like now, and I'm not going back to being just a nobody anymore. So I'm just going to keep going full forward, no matter what people say to me. People are smelling the body in my frunk. Oh, well, I got a tour to go on. Is that what's driving it? The chemical imbalance that comes with addiction, the imbalance that comes with ego and celebrity and that dopamine hit, is that could be what drove, I mean, these utterly delusional lines of thinking on how he was trying to cover up this crime and thinking he was going to get away with it?
Yeah, you certainly see the grandiosity being extreme. And the other thing that I was going to mention, I heard someone reading quotes from him, and I don't know where he had written this, but things he had written about how much he enjoyed gory, awful horror kinds of media content. And that it had not only desensitized him, and that was his word, it had desensitized him, he thought it was funny. He loved it. And that, I think, is also a piece to look at. You know, of course, there's no direct correlation with people who like gory movies and going out and committing murders. But there is a subset of people, and again, we'd be looking at psychopathic, narcissistic people, who are attracted to that content because that gives them a high. Yeah. And they identify with being in the position of power and being able to commit these kind of horrendous acts on another human being. And that can be something that you can look at as they have a form of addiction to that too. And when we look back at his, as we've done, his song lyrics and the type of videos that he produced, that shows that kind of fantasy life. And even if those videos were done prior to the, you know, the unaliving of Celeste, he had been thinking about this kind of thing and enjoying this kind of thing. And that's, I think, something that, you know, we need to keep in mind with some of these films. There was a movie my husband wanted to watch the other night, and we got halfway through it, and I just said, I can't watch this. I'm not going to watch torture, because it wasn't just a violent movie. It wasn't just a movie with graphic scenes. It was about torture, and it was a very popular movie, and we didn't know going in that that was going to be the theme of the movie. But there's a certain subset of people who get high off of watching torture and awful things enacted on other human beings. And I have a problem with those kind of films. If I were in charge, they wouldn't be made. I just think there's a population of people that should not see stuff like that.
You know, and I said this yesterday, and I misspoke a little bit. Someone corrected me, and absolutely, and, you know, kind of relating these psychopathic people to like wolves who will do things for pleasure, you know, like kill for pleasure sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it actually wasn't actually true. The worst animals will do in the wild is they'll kill for territorial disputes and something like and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We are the only organism on this planet, you know, not luckily not all of us, but actually will have individuals that take pleasure in sadism.
Definitely.
We're the only ones. That is just a broken system of our brains in some of us.
Yeah.
And I don't think we know the full results yet of what we're creating with the world that we have around us. Because if we look back to, you know, our upbringing, our younger years, you know, we could watch gory movies. You'd have to go to the Blockbuster or whatever and rent it or catch it on television before then. You know, and you were consuming the gory movie then. Mm-hmm. If you have a brain that's just right enough to be wrong and you're doing the murder simulators, video games, and look, I'm not an anti-video game person. Mm-hmm. I enjoy a good round of Grand Theft Auto every now and then too. Mm-hmm. But you're participating in it. Mm-hmm. You're not just watching it. You're participating in it. And you can be the most sadistic asshole you want in those games. And there's games far worse than Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah.
Far gorier and far darker and far more disturbing. But you're participating in that. And our brains aren't the greatest at deciphering what's reality in front of us and what's entertainment or what is a simulation, if you will. So I am wondering, you know, how much of a recipe for disaster this was, because obviously millions of kids play video games that are horribly violent and they're not out there murdering. It's not an epidemic where, oh my God, suddenly there's all these murderers. No, there are brains that are able to differentiate the two, but there's some that are not.
100%. 100%.
There's some that are not.
And some are not.
And that's what I'm wondering, how much of that may have played a factor in the desensitization of David in these younger years that he is still in, where he had the capability to look at it almost like a video game of, okay, here's the task, here's the mission. Mm-hmm. I got to get rid of this body. Mm-hmm. What do I do? Buy two chainsaws on Amazon, a burn incinerator, and a pool. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like something you do on a video game.
Yeah. And it really interesting. I've done a deep dive into research on video games. One of the early books I wrote back in the early 2000s on video game addiction and video game play. And then again, touched on it in the Mass Killers book. Mm-hmm. It's not that there's a relationship. There's no direct causal relationship with video games causing people to go out and commit mass murder or commit. Right. You do awful things. But when we look at mass murderers, most of them have been very compulsive game players and played for hours and hours and hours. And they're playing in a qualitatively different way. They're not just seeing this as a game, and they're playing as rehearsal. And some of them have been very open about that, that, you know, they gain skills at what they did when they became shooters from being shooters in games. And so they played obsessively, and they saw it as rehearsal. And they were thinking about, how would I act this out when they played? So it's a subset, again, of gamers, and it's the way they're playing. And this has to do with their pre-existing personality problems.
Yeah, I saw that research too, and you're spot on, Siobhan. Your work was great on that. It's, you know, these sadistic trends are already there. It's just throwing kerosene on the fire.
Right.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue to work our way through the David case.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.